Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, number lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
That's the number of home runs an Astro pitcher gave up to set the record. 48 by Jose Lima. So when you watch Mike Burrows out there and you go, man, he's giving up a lot of home runs. He's still got a ways to go. I don't know if he'll get enough starts to do that, but he's still 31 away. Now, if he keeps giving up multiple home runs per start, he may get closer than he'd ever like. That happened again yesterday as the Astros lose the final game of the series. He's at 17. Gave up a home run to the dreaded Nick Kurtz and gave up one to Rooker as well as the Astros drop the Sunday game, which is something they do quite a bit. But, you know, you win the series, you thank Seattle and their closer who's struggled, and you keep it moving as you get a series win in a homestand that had not been going well until the Oakland A's head to town. So there's a lot of conversation. There's an article by Brian McTaggart. Vasquez was asked about it afterwards. What does Mike Burrows need to do? The fastball is one of the least effective fastballs in all of baseball. Burrows himself talked about the lack of movement and what it does, or at least what it does to help hitters, and it's certainly been an issue for him all year long. Vasquez thinks he should throw the changeup more. Says that's his best pitch. Look, I don't know if Burrows needs to find whatever Hunter Brown found, which was a sinker. The magic that turned Hunter Brown from, that's tough, to one of the best pitchers in baseball. I don't suspect Burrows has that in him. I don't think he has the facilities, big man, to find that pitch. But something, and maybe the changeup is the answer. That's what his catcher thinks, that they should throw that more, and it's his most effective way of getting guys out. Whatever it takes, man.
Just stop throwing the four-seam fastball.
Yeah, stop throwing that thing. That thing,
I think it's,
is meat.
I think it's, isn't it like 10 or 11 of the 17 or 18 numbers always changing?
Yeah, because he does it. It happens every game. He pitches.
But it's like an inordinate amount are like just the four-seam fastball that he throws. That, I don't know. Apparently it looks like batting practice to these guys.
It just, look, if you slow down the batters at the plate, I'm sure there's a licking of the lips. I'm sure you can get this. If you got the right camera, you can see these guys' eyes get wide and the licking of the lips.
The phantom camera
that
they use.
You will see almost a smile come to the faces of these batters when they recognize that thing and it's in
Nick
a location.
Like, welcome back.
Where they can drive. Ooh, I knew I loved this ballpark. Thanks, Mike Burrows. I'll take it. I needed it because he had struggled going in, at least in the series going into the game, and then Mike Burrows offered him some meat, and he took it and drove it out of the ballpark. But look, the team is playing, well, at least they played better against the A's. And you'll take a series win wherever you can get it, but it's hard to get a winning streak going where you know, maybe you don't know going in, but you have a sense that one of your guys is going to offer up a chance for the opposing team to get – to get right, and that's what Mike Burrows did. So there was a real shot against this bad A's team that you could sweep them. Instead, you don't look. They didn't score any runs either, so it's not like if Mike Burrows had done a thing where he put up a quality start, they would have won this game. But who knows what happens if you actually are competitive, and he simply cannot avoid giving up home runs. And a spot I've talked about it, not just the home runs, but he does it with runners on base. So it's a double dip of pain when it comes to Mike Burrows, and he'll roll out there. We continue to talk about it. Currently, his best ability is availability, and he made it through the start without getting hurt. So I imagine we'll see him again next time out, next time his turn in the rotation pops up with Hunter Brown waiting in the wings. Hunter Brown will get another rehab start this week. So if we're trying to pick out the best way to move forward for the Astros, the hope is Hunter Brown, Tang, Imai, who had another good start, Eric Geddy, and Lambert. And I don't know what you do with Burrows. Is he capable of being a guy who gets out from the bullpen with a bad fastball? I have my doubts with him.
Can he get arm fatigue? He's been pitching a lot.
Yeah, his arm might be tired.
His neck hurts from turning his head so fast.
We call that whiplash.
Every time he throws the
fastball. Yeah, out because of whiplash. Mike Burrows won't be making his next couple starts as he has whiplash. I don't know. Maybe he can go to 30-day pitcher rehab.
Triple A.
Make it up. I don't know that I need him on the Triple A level because I see what Ryan Weiss is doing. They send Ryan Weiss down there and it's a disaster. I don't know how he's gonna. I think the fastball will get beat up in Sugar Land too. So maybe he just works on throwing the changeup down in Sugar Land and he comes back up and he's lights out. But until that happens, it feels like if we were just going by what they're actually doing on the field, that Hunter Brown is, when he returns, removes Mike Burrows from the rotation.
Yeah, in a just world.
Yes, but I don't know that we live. Actually, I do know we don't live in a just world. Oh, okay. I don't know if the Astros environment is a just world, and Mike Burrows, because of preconceived notions of what he could be, and they made a trade, that he continues to start, and they move like Lambert out of there and move him to the bullpen. But
as born on third base, Mike Burrows.
Yeah, when I look at Mike Burrows, I think of Ryan Day, Harbaugh said about Ryan Day, born on third base.
And a working man, Peter Lambert, has to pay the consequences.
Yeah, he came over from overseas, right?
And trying to lead a better life for his family. Give me your unwashed.
I don't know that we can classify a guy who was born in San Dimas as like an immigrant. I don't know, born in Southern California, near the beaches of Southern California as an immigrant. San Dimas, why does that... Oh, that's Bill and Ted. I was trying to think about why does that city sound so familiar. I think it was the featured city in the Bill and Ted movies, I believe. Either way, Peter Lambert's from there. I've seen that alleged city. It could have been filmed someplace else, but from what it seems on a big screen, not a bad place to live. So I'm not gonna put just because he pitched in Japan, like he came over and saw the Eiffel, not the Eiffel Tower, but the Statue of Liberty, was like America, the land of opportunity. No, he went to Japan for opportunity, actually. It's a reverse.
Oh, yeah.
And then he came back after taking advantage. Although he wasn't – we talk about guys, he wasn't good in Japan last year.
No, he's better in America.
Yeah, Peter Lambert's actually better here than he was in Japan. The Astros have not done well grabbing guys.
American dream, Peter Lambert.
When I think of immigrant stories, success stories, I think of a guy named Peter Lambert. Yeah, that resonates with people. Imagine the Peter Lambert story, a doc on Peter Lambert and what he had to overcome growing up in San Dimas.
Beautiful weather.
Being drafted, being a Colorado Rocky, which is really a punishment. And then he went to Tokyo, one of the major cities in the world, didn't pitch that great over there, came back and became an Astro.
Yeah, and has, you know, a bunch of solid starts for the Houston Astros.
Like, how many people are watching this documentary? Some sicko Astro fan, probably, but that's about it. And the people in Peter Lambert's life. Those are people watching it. Like, I was on the timeline right now because the U.S. played Germany. Their documentary on Amazon is whoever the creator was said, hey, we're getting ever closer. You can watch all five episodes or whatever it is right now. Imagine a push for the Peter Lambert doc across your timeline.
Oh, yeah.
The story of you know, a below average pitcher in the major league level who went over to Japan and was also a below average pitcher. He comes back and he's in the starting rotation.
Yeah, he's an above average pitcher
for a major league baseball team. Yeah. The Peter Lambert story. I doubt that we're getting it, but
people counted them out.
Just keep pitching well. Make it to where actually, Mike Burrows is someone they can make a decision on when Hunter Brown comes back, and we'll take it. All the jokes about your potential doc aside, Peter Lambert's pitch higher, or at least above expectations, certainly, and he's been a benefit to the rotation. Whereas Mike Burrows is one where you kind of hope and pray when he's out there on the mound, and all the praying isn't working right now.
Please, just two solo home runs tonight.
There's a radio station in town that it's God listens, right? That's their tagline. I forgot.
I've seen the bumper sticker.
Yeah. I don't know if prayer is involved with Mike Burrows, but I can tell you if there is, he's not listening. Because positivity is not coming our way when it comes to him. So, a good weekend. You win the series, and we'll take it after how the previous two series went at home.
Bottom line, good series.
Yeah.
But Mike Burrows, yikes.
I don't. You listen to him in the presser, and they're talking to him, and it's. I don't want to say beaten man, but it's clearly a man who's looking for answers and doesn't have them right now. As he tries to explain, he's a stand-up dude. He'll stand there, answer the questions, you know, in those hushed tones that everyone has when things go poorly for a guy.
Oh my!
Yeah, yeah. He answers in the same way.
Are your ears still ringing from
Kurtz? No. It's not an aluminum bat.
It's the sound of the bat.
It's not that. They didn't ask that question because you have a smile in your voice when you ask that question. That's not how it goes. It's a respectful, monotone. Hey, we know this sucks for you. You know you don't want to be. We know you don't want to be here, but we got these questions. Hey, Mike, we get it. Mike Burrows will stand up there and answer questions and really be open about what's going on and what he's trying to do to fix it. There just have not been very many answers. And it's okay, Mike. We'll see you in 5 days.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Brian McTaggart.
Yeah, for acknowledging my pain.
I needed this.
Yeah, for asking me questions in a way that acknowledges my pain. And you know I'm struggling. I appreciate you and your understanding. Either way, we'll see Mike Burrows again. Mike Burrows will return because he's capable of pitching. When it's turning, the rotation pops up. We'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll get into what happened over the weekend in the NBA. You know, with the travel day, we had a couple of days off, so no game to talk about from last night. But we do have Knicks Spurs tonight as the Knicks try to go up 3-0. And I've come to the conclusion that Wimby's like the perfect athlete for content creation, because either it goes well and you can talk about the freak that he is as a player, and if it doesn't go well, he answers questions in a way that opens himself up to ridicule for people who hate, because he's very introspective. He's very, hey, we know he wants to win, but his questions aren't these monosyllabical or syllable. I'm messing up that word probably, but it's not these one syllable answers. He goes into it and he seems like the type who's not affected as much by the game because he can just turn the page and move on. People will use his words against him if he has another giant mess up. I heard already people calling him Chris Webber for throwing that ball off the back of Stephon Castle. So I think he's a perfect guy for debate shows because it's now back to he celebrated too much after the win against the Thunder. That was already a thing KG said. Now people are agreeing with KG in 2026. So he has a chance to turn that around, Wimby does, but he's got to do it in the Garden. We'll talk about what happened in game two and what possibly could happen in game three when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
Hey.
This is the Del Alalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Alalea.
Just to wrap up the Astro stuff, they go to Anaheim, face the Angels, Eric Gaddy on the mound. So you got a good shot there with Grayson Rodriguez on the other side with the ERA near 10. So we're talking about mismatches here. That feels like one the Astros should win. And we'll just see how it plays out in Anaheim. While that's going on, the finals will likely be right around halftime once first pitch happens there. And we got a game three where the Knicks have a chance to put the series away. You down 0-2, losing the first two games at home. It's already a tough hill, but they still have an opportunity to change the series, but for the Spurs, certainly. But going back to game two, the Spurs' highs are so high that you think, how does this team lose? Like, they jump out is what they do. They just jump out the leads in these playoffs. And then even to close the game, they're down 14-0. Or excuse me, they're down by 14. Feels like the game is over. And they just run off 14 straight. They get stops. They score. It looks like this is the Spurs team many people expected to see throughout the series, but you just can't sustain that level of play. The Spurs can hit you in waves, but it's also spurts where at some point that type of energy is going to wane because you can't play at that level for long. And the Knicks just wait it out. They take a punch. In some ways, they may even stagger because even in the fourth quarter, even Jalen Brunson wasn't knocking down shots. He had a tough night shooting overall. That's two games in a row. He gets the big free throw, doesn't make the second, and then it comes down to Wimby's good look, which he misses over Mitchell Robinson. So the Spurs go down 0-2. Who do we blame, Sean? Do we blame Mitch Johnson for not calling timeout on the Wimby turnover? Do we blame Wimby for not looking to his right, where I believe Harper and Fox could have been waiting for the basketball? Castle for not looking back at his big man and going, give me the ball. Because he did look, saw Wimby dribble, and turned his back. And if you've seen it, as soon as he turned, Wimby throws the ball. It results in a turnover and then the subsequent foul that sends Jalen Brunson to the line. Mitch Johnson, young coach, has, for the most part, escaped scrutiny because his team is winning. Now you're down 0-2. You have a decision to make. He wanted to get them up the court. He didn't want to go against a set Knicks defense. Instead, Wimby turns the ball over, and what happened. If we're parceling out blame, who's at the top of your list, or does no one get blamed?
I think Mitch Johnson last. Because the no timeout thing, like, they did that game one of the Minnesota series, and they got, like, a wide-open three for Champagne by doing that. So, and there's way more time than last time, too. It was, like, 13 seconds. So I think, like, that it's fine just to, like, try to push the ball, not go up against a set defense. Obviously, Brunson will be on the court, so at the very least, run a play at Brunson, who, you know, when they go defense only, won't be on the court.
Yeah.
So the Mitch Johnson piece, I think he's 100% absolved.
Great, wow.
Great job. Maybe like 2% not absolved, but mostly
okay.
Absolved. I kind of think it's a little bit on Castle, a little bit more on Castle than Wembanyama. That was just kind of my gut reaction of, like, get the ball from your big man. Like, just don't have Victor dribble the ball up. Also, Victor Wembanyama, maybe look to the right, but I can see how, especially the side that was, like, to Stephon Castle's back, like, when you see that view of, like, they really did make eye contact and just, like, completely thought the other thing, you know, like, they made eye contact and Castle's like, all right, cool, Wimby's bringing up the ball. They made eye contact. Victor's like, cool, I'm passing it to Castle. And they both just did that at the wrong time. So I think Castle a little bit more just because, like, you're the guard, get the ball. But it's not like, I don't know. It's not like the J.R. Smith thing where it's like, this is all on J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of that just in the way that's like, this just cost your team the game. Like, it was a tied game at the very least, and now you lost because basically nothing.
I think someone under 6'7 should have called for the ball.
Yeah.
Whether it be Fox or Harper or Castle, someone under 6'7" says, hey, ball, even as you're trying to spin up the court. Because if you're playing to get Wimby a shot, maybe you don't want him dribbling up the court
to get
to a spot. These are the things that you would think De'Aaron Fox is there for. As your point guard, make sure you go get the ball. If these are conversations you have. If we get a stop, this is what we're going to do. Instead, you've got, sure, your best player, but your non-guard player dribbling up the court and having to make a decision as a non-guard as well.
Yeah, and it's not so little time that you need to, like, push.
You're not rushing to get off a last second shot. You can grab the ball, still play with little speed, but
you can make the, you can make a pass.
You can make a couple passes to get into a spot where you have your best ball handler initiating a play as you try to go fast. Instead, you get what you get, and the Knicks go up 2-0 even when their best player hasn't shot the ball well. I was talking about it at the end of the last show about how this thing could go for a couple Knicks if they close this thing out. First, all the cat jokes go away. I think if Cat plays at the level he's played at and they go on and win this series, he rises up a different tier. Maybe people will still be making the jokes about what appears to be in their eyes of the effeminate faces he makes or some of the sound that's come out, but now he's a champion and he's playing heads up against what could be the best player in the world, if not next year, then the year after in Wimby, and he's holding his own. In fact, he's winning that battle. Mike Brown becomes another guy who raises a level. I mean, you think about Mike Brown. He was positioned at times as LeBron's caddy in Cleveland.
Then he was
an assistant to Steve Kerr. He had his time with the Kings.
Yeah, he had an ill-fated Lakers stint.
Yeah.
An ill-fated return to the Cavs
stint. Yes, the Knicks.
He was like kind of just like a coaching NBA coach, like kind of also ran.
Yeah,
almost. And yeah, like the Warriors time was really the like, all right, you know, kind of the montage moment of, you know, rebuilding his coaching career.
And then you have,
and then he gets fired by the Kings. Best coach the Kings have had in 20 years gets fired.
Of course, that's who they are. We can go through all the fumbles for the Kings. That's why they stand where they stand. You also have the Knicks who didn't want him as their first choice.
Yeah,
I think there are some rumors that they were they're kind of hoping that a Jason Kidd would shake loose.
Jason Kidd, Ime Udoka.
Yes.
At least got a contract extension off the
There rumor. Was even a mention of, I think at one point, could Eric Spoelstra shake loose? Is that a guy they might want to go after? That was a high cotton, as they say, that the Knicks were playing in. Like, these are all the guys we can possibly go after, and then they fell to Mike Brown. Everyone's like, oh, Mike, you fired Thibodeau for Mike Brown? What are you guys doing? I thought you guys had a lot of it was you can't fire Thibodeau and then not have a plan. And it felt like the Knicks didn't have a plan because they wound up taking Mike Brown. And so far, and you know what, if they blow this series, then there will be a different conversation. But as it stands now, it has completely worked out for him. So the nature of the talk around him will change as well. I'm trying to think of Mikal Bridges, certainly. Outside of OG Anunoby and Jalen Brunson, all the major players for the Knicks were guys, whether it be coach or player, that people had jokes for. Like OG Anunoby, other than the Suni Lee thing, because she appeared at a game and he went crazy. There's not a lot of talk about OG Anunoby. No. The rest of the guys were catching it.
And Mikal Bridges was catching it a month ago. Last time the Knicks
when that CJ McCollum shot went through, he was catching it.
He was catching it all the time. Like, that's how quickly it's all turned around. Yeah, I mean, I think biggest legacy points beneficiaries for the Knicks. I think it's probably Cat one, honestly.
I think so.
Like, as far as like percentage of, like, I don't know, Q score going up. And then I think it's Brunson, because Brunson really does get, I mean, he's like the new, like, Patrick Ewing, but he won.
But he would win. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how Knicks fans view the 70s guys. Like, I just don't know.
They love Clyde Frazier.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Frazier and Willis Reed, I know, are like the, Those are the guys from the 70s teams. So I think he's up there. Like, he's probably top three.
You throw a title on what he's done. Like, if you look at his, like, points scored, because Ewing was there for so long, of course, he would have to be there for another decade to get to Ewing. And today's NBA, maybe a little bit less. But as esteem, like, old school Knicks fans will hold those Ewing 90s teams certainly in their hearts and maybe elevate Ewing just based off of that. But I don't know how you do it if Brunson goes on and wins this title.
Yeah.
I think it's just it is for a lot of the Knicks players, just a legacy defining thing. On the other side, if it goes down the way it feels like it's going to go down, Wimby's already picked up a couple of the marks against them, the elbow to the throat that most people tried to push aside because, you know, Wimby's one of the heroes right now that people want to elevate. Didn't talk to the media. That's only a media thing that people care about. But when you throw in an awful turnover, a potential, if it goes in a sweep, then the legacy defining stuff already will become part of Wimby's story.
Later, MJ's waving goodbye.
Currently, he's practically got a clean slate. But if he gets swept out of the playoffs by the Knicks, and like Shaq, it happened to Shaq in his first finals. It happens to great players.
Not to the GOAT.
But you can't be the GOAT and get swept out of the finals by the Knicks or any team really. But as the favorite. And then you have a giant gaffe on the resume, too. Oh,
yeah.
The conversation about him will flip pretty quickly.
He's playing much better than this man was. But it's a little bit of the J.J. Barea, LeBron, just the photo of LeBron with the ball and J.J. Barea guarding him and being like, LeBron scored 11 points or whatever. In that finals. It's like that level of just like the screenshot of him throwing the ball right to the number 5 on Stephon Castle's back and Jalen Brunson like has his eyes locked on it the entire time. That to me is like the
it'll
slander.
Be the defining.
Yeah, in 15 years when kids that weren't old enough to watch this game are talking about the GOAT debate, that's going to get held against Wembanyama.
Like it'll be the thing where they go, if I send you this picture, it means I fumbled.
Yeah.
I fumbled the biggest bag ever. Something like that. I trashed my legacy. It'll be that thing. If it happens, and they go on to lose.
I had my phone on Wembanyama mode. No rings.
Yeah.
You know? That's why I didn't hear your call.
Stuff like that will be following him until then. You could change your narrative. If you want a couple, then things change.
If he wins 4, like this will become the like first part of the Victor Wembanyama documentary. Probably not the first part. Probably like close of Act 2 of the Victor Wembanyama documentary of like learning how to win. You know, like this is the moment of adversity.
Yeah, because Dirk had his in 06 when the Heat beat them.
Yeah, he like ain't in 07.
Yeah,
07 was worse. Losing
in the first round after winning the MVP.
But as we know in the GOAT debate, losing the finals way worse than
losing as a 61 team in the first round. You barely remember that. Losing the finals, much bigger deal. Despite winning 3 rounds of the playoffs, losing as a 61 team to an 8 seed, less legacy defining. And he disappeared and found himself, and then eventually comes back and wins the 11 title against a team who took it from him in 06. So. This is just the start of the Wimby conversation, but he will go from the next big thing that people love to someone we now have to slander in a way that will be unfair, but it's just the way it goes. He ain't unique. Everyone gets it. He'll just be next in line. Yeah.
Shut me up, Victor.
Well,
if you don't want me chirping.
I'm trying to think who will be the first one to really make their name off of, because we have Skip with LeBron.
Yeah.
He certainly became a cult figure going after LeBron. Will someone try to invoke Skip and try to follow in that legacy of being the ultimate Wimby hater?
I don't know. Because like Nick Wright has already kind of Like, he's already established, because you kind of need to, it's like a, you know, it's like a real estate grab. You know, you just need to grab that real estate to be like, I will be the anti-Victor Wembanyama guy. I'll be on First Take as the Victor.
Yeah, the Will Actually guy from, yeah, with Victor, and then you start
like
to,
the Max Kellerman for like, Victor Wembanyama.
Like, what, he's got a turnover. He's already got a missed jumper to win the game in the finals.
Yep.
You can start to build your case to say he's not clutch.
Who'd he beat anyway?
He beat a Thunder team who was missing two of their best ball handlers.
Yep, yep.
You beat a Minnesota team, and you can just trash Gobert if you want. These are all the ways you get to calling into question
Randle.
This entire run. Oh, Julius Randle, notable playoff dropper, and who was never healthy. These are the things you start to work in your mind to crush this run by the Spurs, and in turn crush Wimby.
Yeah,
let him miss a game winner tonight. Let him go and watch. Someone will take the mantle.
Yeah, which is funny because he is like, he's still just playing well. Like his averages look good. Like, I guess the percentage just from game one probably not great, but just the you know, broad strokes. You're like, yeah, he's playing pretty well. Made one mistake, really. Like it really for probably what, like 10 real life minutes, felt like the Spurs were going to steal this one.
Yep.
And then ultimately what it felt like was that the Knicks stole it, cuz they didn't really like make like a great play to stop the Spurs.
The Spurs
avalanche.
Made a mistake.
And
Wimby's momentum took him into Brunson for a foul.
Yeah.
And Brunson only made one out of two.
That too. It's like, it's just the most, like, the Knicks are still kind of falling apart. They just fell apart. And a less, like, explosive
there
way.
Just wasn't enough time for San Antonio to completely take advantage of the Knicks' disaster down the stretch. Knicks just had enough to win, and now we got a game three. And someone asked, I think it was Ardu asked on Twitter, about potentially tonight, will Knicks fans comply with law enforcement? If you missed it, because the president's going to be at game three, They won't be allowing Knicks fans to be right in front of the Garden because of security reasons. They'll cordon a certain amount of blocks, and then we'll see if the Knicks fans gather around. He asked, will they acknowledge? Well, is it regular New York City police doing all the doing all the security, or are we going to have like federal agents,
Secret Service?
Yeah, making sure that these guys stay away. Because if I don't have that kid calling Stephon Castle PAB when he's 12 years old in front of the Garden, how will I survive? I need that video.
Yeah.
So I imagine if they follow the rules, all those people will be gathering around the barriers, and then they'll just do all their street interviews there. I don't know if they're going to test the federal government when it comes to protection of the president of the United States. Maybe that's one step too far for the Knicks fans.
I don't know.
If they win yeah, I don't know.
If they win, I don't know.
I don't think the president's going to stay for the whole game anyway. I think
really?
He'll be out before the...
It's a blowout?
No, I just think he'll leave. I just think for security reasons, he won't stay until the end of the game. I think he'll go.
Yeah, I don't know the protocol on this because as far as my memory goes, this is the first time a president's been at a
finals game.
So, I don't know. I assume he has to leave early. I assume he's sitting in a box. Right, there's no way he's just like, it's not gonna. The camera's not gonna pan to.
No, Mandani's sitting amongst the people. He'll be at the game, but amongst the people. President, I think, is
he has to be in Jim Dolan's luxury suite or something, right? Like we're not gonna get the camera shot of him, Tracy Morgan and Donald Trump. Sitting
I'm going
next to
ask where will he be sitting? Where's
Timothy Chalamet dapping him up after
he's expected
after
to sit in a high? Well, yeah, high security. Private suite or luxury box, bulletproof glass. Although guns will, you know, unlikely a patron will have a gun, but you got to have security.
Or if Mitchell Robinson missed free throw.
Really? That man's playing with a broken hand. Look at you. Got two defensive stops against Wimby and you default to the free throw jokes.
An errant pass from Victor Wembanyama. If he turns his back to Victor Wembanyama,
Wimby has
a
soft touch. He's not firing fastballs. It's a soft touch. Well, Castle's back is fine. I mean, it's not where you're supposed to hit a guy, but...
No, it's dishonorable.
Yeah, hit him between the numbers, but the wrong side. That's all.
It was a good pass.
And we'll go to break, but got a tweet about who's going to attack Wimby. Marco said, Jason Whitlock, he's already doing it. because apparently Wimby didn't stand as upright as he should during the national anthem. Mm. And Whitlock said, "You can't pay America the respect it's old, foreigner." So I guess
that
I got my answer.
Peanut butter skin.
Nope. That's disrespectful in a different way. But apparently Whitlock may be our guy if this goes the way it is. It has gone so far with the Knicks winning. So now I have my answer.
Okay, Jason Whitlock.
He'll be the Wimby hater, and he'll lean into he's French.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, honestly, it's been undersold how...
How French he is?
How being French makes you... puts a cap on your likability for an American audience.
Well, the French...
I wouldn't say it makes you unlikable, but it puts a cap on how likable you
can.
We
will see how Americans like the French national team. They're one of the teams expected to compete for the World Cup title.
Oh, yeah.
How they feel about Mbappe and others.
In Chattanooga? Who's the team that's in Chattanooga? It's very
there
funny.
Are a lot of Southern American cities that we would never imagine a soccer superstar being in. And the Europeans who are over here are enjoying their time so far.
Yeah, I'm sure. Chattanooga's great.
I mean,
got a Zaxby's.
Yeah, I mean, there's one German guy who's got an account that people care about right now, driving around Georgia, made his way to a Waffle House. It was like, wow, this is great. We'll go to break with that.
That's our cultural reach out.
I mean, look,
this fast food stuff.
That's what Lamine Yamal said. They asked him about what he's excited to do in America. He goes, he mentioned fast food himself.
I think it was Germans in Chicago for the friendly.
Yeah.
They went to Portillo's and they're like, can you believe it? They put cake in a milkshake?
Milkshake, yeah, I saw that. And it's in a cup.
Yeah.
Cake in a cup and a milkshake. Look at that. America. So great. Meanwhile,
there's 14 hot dogs all across the table.
A chicken sandwich everywhere. Meanwhile, the mayor of Chicago is like, FIFA tried to screw us. That's why we're not hosting the World Cup here. Like, they tried to get us to do things that wouldn't have been beneficial to the taxpayer. He goes, I don't know what all the other mayors are doing, but it wasn't going to happen here. And also, our football team's leaving.
That too.
All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. When we get back, we'll tell you about some of the watch parties going on that we're going to have. We just mentioned the World Cup. I'll tell you about where you can be on Thursday and Friday to watch the World Cup with ESPN 975. We will be back, but before I do any of that, I want to give you a chance to go to the game. Sure, the watch parties will be going on throughout as the World Cup is just days away. But if you want a chance to go see a game, Michelob Ultra is providing you with an opportunity this week, later in the week, on Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. at Ojos Locos in Memorial. You have Rodeo Goat in Edo on Thursday as well from 2 to 5. Then you've got Christian's Tailgate on Friday in White Oak. And then you've got Papa's on the Lake in Montgomery from 5 to 8. And then Twin Peaks and Kirby from 3 to 6 on Sunday. So you've got Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And all you got to do is show up at one of these places, one of these locations, participate in an interactive soccer shootout game, and the winner will go home with a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. Thursdays, Friday, Sunday. So find the location and time that fits you, and then go on out there and compete. And if you win, you get tickets. Play for your chance to witness history, because superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents, excluding California, Washington residents. 21 plus. Begins on 2/1/26 and ends on 5/31/26. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules for prizes and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.